Hanukkah is in the air, but we're still holding an emunah. We don't like to leave topic, and the truth is that it's not difficult. Hanukkah is the yontif of emunah. It's the yontif where our ideologies, our kesher to Borei Olam, our kesher to Torah, were challenged by the Yevanim, and this is the yontif of emunah. So the Iker Sugyas that we're discussing in Emunah are going to be coming up this week and next week in order to understand Mamish Ikrei Ikrim. Chazal already tell us in Bereishis Rabbah that the Goliaths are keneged different words in the beginning of Bereishis, Choshech al Pnei Tehom, darkness in the world, a total abyss, is Yavon. That's going on the Greeks. Why? Because they had a gzera. Kisvu al keren ashar, everybody should write on the horns of their oxen. That's kind of like bumper stickers, you know, from those days. They should write on the horns, Ein lonu chelek belokei Yisrael. We don't have a connection, we don't have a chelek, a lot, with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Very interesting, very interesting. This is the Choshech, and we have to try to understand this because ultimately, Yavon were the most illuminated people on planet Earth. We're still using a lot of their math, a lot of their engineering, a lot of their architecture. They were filled with light, Yavon. And nevertheless, Chazal say that they're Choshech because they did something over here. They said, right, Kisvu al keren ashor, ein lanu chilek b'elokei Yisrael. And I was trying to think, for many years, I've been thinking about this idea of horns. There's a lot been written about this. What does it mean to write on the horns of your shor? What does this mean, horns? So I decided to bring a little bit of show and tell. I've never done this before. And I never told you guys this, but I have some Chanukah gelt. I have real Chanukah gelt. These two coins are from the period of the Chashmonaim. I'd like to say I have a bigger collection, but these are the only two I have. And one of them has the seal of Yonasan Kohen Gadol. Another one has Yochanan Kohen Gadol. This one is from Herod Basilius. Sounds very, you know, Basilius. And these are these coins. And I was looking at them. I bought them this year. It's not hard. It doesn't cost a lot of money to buy them, but you have to figure out who's willing to sell them to you. Coins. Something fascinating. Each one of these coins, both the one from the Chashmonai Mamish with the seal of the Kohen Gadol and the one from the Greeks, has horns on them. And the archaeologist that I bought them from tells me, I sat with my paper, like a very serious archaeologist. First he wanted to make sure I'm literate and I'm not like just some yeshiva bacher. So I was writing in fancy. He actually complimented me. He says, I see you're educated. I'm like, yes, very educated. Right? So he writes over there, he goes, horns of plenty. It looks like two horns of basically an ox. You can look yourselves afterwards, just nobody should pocket them. There are cameras over here. Each one of them has horns of plenty on them. Horns of plenty. I don't know what horns of plenty are, but it sounds like it was a sign of prosperity at the time, both for the Yidden and for the Goyim. And this was fascinating to me. Horns, horns. But that's krum. I'm not going to come here with archaeology. I was never makabel from my rebbeim, even if it's a chashmonai coin, which mamish was a shtikl tire from them. Still, without a mesorah, we don't say any shtikl tire. So I started to do my own research in Rishonim. What is a horn? And we came to the halakha Chana. Chana has a child, Shmuel, and she says the beautiful words, Rama karni lahashem, I lift my horn to Hashem. What is this horn? Says the Radak, you're going to fall off your seats. Rama karni b'Hashem, hatoikef yikare keren. The strength of a person is called the keren, the horn. Lefishua makom agavoa shebehema. It's the highest place of the behema. Gama karnaim tokef achaya. When an ox gores, it puts all of its strength there. It represents all the strength that you have. And Chana, when she got this beautiful child, she said, this is my strength. This is my keren. Rama karni l'Hashem. I'm taking all my horns. And I'm saying, you did these beautiful things for me, Hashem. And it's beautiful. Yavan wanted to take everything away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They wanted every Keren, every Geshmak, every Bracha, every Yeshua, every Hatzlacha, every horn in our lives, right on that horn, Ein Lanu Chelek B'Elokei Yisrael. It's random. No Shaychus. No Kesher with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They wanted to sever the relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we've been discussing over and over again that the Leshem's Gematria, Elokeinu is Gematria Emuna. We have our Ribbono Shalom. He's our Ribbono Shalom. Emuna means not that there is a Ribbono Shalom, it's that he has a Chelek B'Yisrael. He's connected to my life. Yavan wanted everybody to take all of their Hatzlachas, right? Every time you see a coin, wherever you go, you see horns, 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 horns. I got a lot of horns in my pocket, but they're not from Hashem. It's a lot of Hanukkah geld. Nothing to do with Hanukkah. To sap away the emuna, Beloikei Yisrael, Rachmana Litzlan. And that was a gevaltika choshech. A gevaltika choshech that came upon us through these people. But we still have a question, which is they were so illuminated, so enlightened. So where did they go wrong? Where's the krumkite in all of the chachma that they had? And we're going to see that their chachma was their makar of cheshech mamash. The chachma was the makar of cheshech. What's the pshat? Yavan themselves believed in wisdom, but the buck stops with wisdom. Meaning, whatever you can figure out exists. Whatever you can't figure out doesn't exist. And the richness of Yiddishkeit starts where you can't figure things out. Because this little brain, what could it really hold in it? It could only hold so much, but there's places and experiences that are so much greater than the Play-Doh inside my skull that is the Chelek B'Elokei Yisrael. And Yavan was against this. The Ramban writes the chilling words in Achremus, his uptight of Aristotle and all those who followed him. Hayivani asher hikchish kol dover zulasya murgishlo. The Yavani who denied, who rejected anything that wasn't sensory, anything that you couldn't look at in a microscope. The Hegis Daitoi Lakshov Hubitalmidav, and these arrogant people were arrogant enough to think, Ki Kol Inyan Shalo Hissig, these Rishayim, says the Ramban, Ha Rishayim Ki Kol Inyan Shalo Hissig Elav Bisvarasai, anything that they couldn't see or prove, Einoi Emes, doesn't exist. Doesn't exist. So with all their illumination, with all of their wisdom, but there was a big brick wall, which is the buck stops here. Afterwards, there's no wisdom. There couldn't be a greater darkness. There couldn't be a greater disconnect than to make the world shayach to the silly putty in my skull and nothing else exists. Lamaisa the Tanya, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, writes in his Sefer, we find that people who knew nothing, who had no wisdom whatsoever, no wisdom, and if anything, any of the wisdom that they had was wrong and off and this and that, we find that when they had the choice to die al pi kiddush Hashem, they did it willingly. Says the Tanya in Perek Yud Ches of Tanya. He says, we find all these people, Boirim, Amaratzim, Koifrim, who for sure were in Yoidim Gedulas Hashem. They didn't know Hashem. They didn't even know anything about him. For sure, whatever they knew, they never thought about in their lives. And we find, without any thinking, they gave up their lives for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Frek the Tanya, how could that be? Without thinking? Without thinking. He says, he says, yes, if you want to know where a Yid is connected to, this is what the Svarim HaKadoshim call the Pintali Yid. If you want to know what we're all about, there's a place above our brain where there's no thinking involved. It's just a kesher with Bayrei Olam. It's a place in our neshama that's way above anything you could ever think about. It's your actual connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Emunah doesn't mean finding Hashem somewhere outside. Emuna means you're attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're connected be'etzem. There's something here that you don't even have to think about. It could get triggered at any moment, and it is your chilek eloka mimal, which Yavan thought can't go further than this. It goes way further. And dafka, because you're not thinking, you die, I'll be Kiddush Hashem. Because this is something much more potent and powerful. And this is a very calming thought for me. Because a lot of times people talk about in the world a leap of faith. You picture a frog and it's leaping. A leap of faith, right? Why do they do that? Because it's very scary to believe. Because you've got to jump. I don't want to jump. Jump! I don't want to jump. Right? Doesn't sit well with me. Yiddishkeit would never use the word leap of faith. We don't want anyone jumping. No. Not a good idea. Nobody's jumping. Do you know what emunah is? Real emunah, Eloikeinu, is that if I look inside myself, I'll find emunah inside. I don't have to jump anywhere. I just have to get in touch with myself. I am attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yesh lanu chelek belokei Yisrael. And it's not something that I have to be a Talmud Chacham for, and it's sometimes I might lose focus in life. It doesn't matter. I'm connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have something that's way above a shtickle Torah and way above a philosopher, a chibur with Borei Olam. It's inside of me. That's my chibur. And you think about it, dafka the things that are so out there. The world is mezalzalin. The world is mezalzalin. The Gemara says in Brachos on Daf Vav Amud Beis, Krum Zulus. Elu dvarim she'anoshim mezalzim lahem. These are the things that people disgrace. Ve'oimdim beruim ay shalaylam. And they're so high up there. What's the Gemara talking about? Davening. Davening is something that we do, and people make fun of it. Come late, and what am I doing already? And this is a whatever. Does it matter? Does it matter if I wear? Do you think Hashem cares if I wear a jacket or I wear a hat? Give me a break. Hashem cares about all this. There's a lot of late sonnets in davening. Says the Gemara. The Gemara says that this is a davar birumoy shalaylam that people make fun of. So normally you think the pshat in the Gemara is that, look, tefillah is very good and important and exalted, and it happens to be how terrible people make fun of it. I want to tell you a tremendous secret in this Gemara. Sfasayim Yishak. The Gemara is not saying it happens to be davening is high up there and people make fun of it. The reason people make fun of davening is because it's so high up there. You can't see it. You can't put it under a microscope. It's your connection with Hashem. It's way too high. Yeah, you just take those three steps in and somehow you're totally connected. You always were connected before the Shemoneh Esrei, but now you're tapping in to your Chelek Belokei Yisrael. And it's so easy to make fun of it because you can't prove it empirically. You can't magnify it. You can't take a Hubble telescope to show where your tefillahs are going. They're so high that they're invisible because they're not shaykh to my silly putty brain. It's the real kesher with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yavan says, give me a break, Rabbi. And we say, you're so over here. You're so stuck in your little tininess. We begin life where you end. There's no greater choshech that could be. And it's more than that. The attachment that we have, the attachment that we have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves us in every situation, no matter what's going on in here, and no matter what's going on in here. And Rav Yerucham and Be'etzem the Maharal say this zak. Isn't it interesting that Chavakuk in the Gemara at the end of Makkos says that there's one mitzvah, Ba Chavakuk, V'hamidon alachas. There's one mitzvah at the end of days that people will be capable of really doing. Tzadik bemunasai yichya. Living with emunah. What does that mean? Says Rav Yerucham, he says the word hamidon is things that you could rely on, that will be there for you. The Maharal says it's the thing that you're connected with. He explains, everything fails in life. everything. I'm a total Am Haaretz. I have no hadracha. I have no idea what I'm doing. If you take away everything from a Yid, he's still connected up here. He can always come back to his connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and through that connection, he can get all the milas in the Welt. He can be Chozer B'tshuva. He can become a Talmud Chacham Muflag. He can get everything in this very dark world, because there's one place that no one will ever take away from you, and you don't even need to work for it. Your emuna, Elokeinu, that you are connected. You have a chelek Eloka Mimal. You can't see it, but it's there. It's with you. And he explains weiter, that this is what the Gemara means at the end of Saita, that in Ikvasa de Meshicha, we can only rely on Hashem. What, before we couldn't rely, before there was more than Hashem in the world? And the answer is, when you shave everything off, there were a lot of things. Hashem throws a lot of life rafts. But at the end, if you break everything down and you leave someone totally alone, the only thing that he's left with is me and Hashem. And it's not a connection outside that you have to find, it's inside. He's totally there with you, inside of you. It's your closest keshe with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Gaon says something amazing. The Gaon is brought in Rav Isaac Chover's Perish on Milas HaTorah. The Gaon says that we know that there are different names for men. There are different names for a person. The lowest name for man is called Enosh. Enosh. Okay? Enosh, he says, is the lowest a human being can get, lowest a Jew could ever be. He says the word Enosh is Nachash, snake, minus one. You're almost a snake. That's what you are. When you're an Enosh, you are almost that snake. That snake from Bereshis, that's you, minus one. You're almost there. One more, and you're there. Says the Gaon, Adavar Noira Be'oyim. What is the minus one? What are you left with when you're almost a snake? Emunah. He says your attachment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that Emunah, and it will not let you become a snake. You will not become a snake. Because through that, he says, you can flip your whole life around. Because Hashem never left you. You don't have to forge a new relationship with Elokei Yisrael. He's there. He's in with you at every moment. And as soon as you start traveling with that little one that you have, you can turn the whole thing around. But if a person jumps ship and says, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. It's a scary repercussion. Says the Gaon, we have a Gemara. It's a Mishnah Be'etzim in Brachas. That if you're davening and a Nachash tries to get you, a Nachash is curling around, it's scary stuff. Keep davening. Keep davening. Says the Gaon, because the Nachash is saying you're a snake, it's not true. Keep going. You're connected in that davening. Don't stop davening. The snake is saying, look, you're a snake. Don't listen. Keep going, and you'll plug away, you'll make it through. You are not a snake. But it says there that if an akrav, a scorpion, comes and gets you, stop the davening. Disconnected. Says the Gaon, a Davar Noira. What is this scorpion that has the ability to detach a person? Only one thing. Chachmas Yevanim. Chachmas Yevanim, starting to explore religion, starting to let go of that little special thing that connected you, and starting to do research. A person goes out and he wants to just see the world according to his eyes. Says the Gaon, the gematria of akrav, of scorpion, is emuna ra, terrible faith. And in Tikkuni Zayir, the Gaon says that the word akrav can be changed to be'ikr, which is a koifer be'ikr, somebody who totally detaches himself. A person can go one of two ways in this crazy situation that we're in. He can realize he has nothing and think he has nothing. Or he can realize he has everything. He has a chelek belokei Yisrael. And sometimes he's not feeling it. Sometimes he's not successful bechlal. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us like banim. Like children, attachments. Uba uba necha lidvir beisecha ufinu eshechalecha. In Al-Anisim, we're referred to Banim, Kinderlach. We're attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But a person who tries to do research in these areas, and we're talking about sugyas of Emunah here, so we had to cover this at some point. The people who like to explore don't realize that they're digging their own grave, because their exploration will detach them from Elokei Yisrael. They're better off just letting it come back. The cognizance, the realization of being part of the Ummah HaKadosha, it's inside of them. Why are they running around? What are they looking for, Be'etzem? And it's always the last thing to go is Emunah. You say that's not true, because you spoke to a guy who was off the derech and he says, I don't know, I have sfeikis, and this. Don't believe him. Don't believe him. I have a guy who was off the derech for 5 years. And finally, after the fifth year, he said, I finally got it. I don't believe in Hashem. Finally. After all those Yom Kippurs, finally. What's Pshat? Rabbi Yerucham says Pshat. Rabbi Yerucham says, based on Rashi in Parshas Bechukosai. In Parshas Bechukosai, Rashi says, If you're not on Melim B'Tayra, right? In Bechukosai Timasu Ves Mishmatai Tigol Nashachem. What's going to happen, says Rashi from Chazal, seven Averis, and one causes the next, until the seventh. We always know seven is the full natural order. It's every process is seven. Says the Rashi, first, Lo Lamad, he stops learning. Okay. Then, Lo Asa, stops doing. Then, Mois Ba'achir Mosi, can't stand all those guys who are flipping out. Soinez Chacham starts hitting his rebbes. Moinez Achirim starts stopping people from doing the right thing. Koifer ba mitzvos. Then he starts rejecting mitzvos. And last but not least, Kofer ba'ikr. He denies Hashem. Says Rav Yerucham, why does it start end this way? He says, because you're preserved, you're safe. In this whole process, you're preserved until the bitter end. You can come back. If a person just keeps pushing out and out and out and out and out and out and out, eventually he might, chas v'shalom, hit his core. But that's the last stop. Hashem will be with us with infinite patience. And he's attaching us in a way that we can get all of the madregas that our neshama is supposed to get at any moment. And Yavan wanted to detach us from this. Kisvu al keren ashor, ein lanu chela be'elokei Yisrael. You're just like us. And Emunah doesn't require wisdom. It doesn't require wisdom. It requires a feeling of connection. Yes, feeling. It's a feeling that cannot be described to a guy, or in a laboratory, or to a scientist. It's a hergesh that you will give up your life for Borei Olam, and you dafka can't describe it because it can't be described. If it was described, it would be tiny and down here. If you could write an article about it, then it's something that's really not worth writing an article about, because it's tiny. And it says in the Medrash Rabbah that Avram Avinu, our Alter Zeda, when he was looking for Hashem, it says, Ekev Asher Shama Avram Bakoli, Rav Yochanan, Rav Chanina held. How old was Avraham? 48 years old. One gear says that he was 40, another gear says that he's 48. When he was Hikir as Bairoi, when he recognized Hashem, Reish Lakish Amr ben Shalashanim, Hikir Avram as Bairoi. Reish Lakish says he was 3. A very interesting machlekes. Sounds like, okay, pick a time. But it doesn't sound like that in the Rambam and the Ravid, because something big is going on over here. Says the Rambam in Avodah Zarah Perek Aleph. He says Avraham became 40 years old and he was Hikir B'Bairek. Omer Avram, the Ravid is Masik. Yesh Agoda ben Shalashonim. There's another Shita that he was 3. And everyone's in discussion. What the Raven needs to get into this? Like, what's the? It's a big. The Rambam didn't know about this. The Raven know about what's going on over here? So the Kesef Mishnah says a pshara you can make, a pshara that Avraham started his quest at 3 and he finished at 40 or 48 when he was mature. But the Raven doesn't say that. And I understood shamati the following unbelievable beer. The Rambam was saying a fully developed Maimon is 48 years old. The Rambam Shita is that there's Chachma and Emunah. that a person has to have chachma in their emunah. So it has to be fully developed. So Mamela, you go with the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan, a 40 or 48. The Ravid says, I want you to know, you could be a 3-year-old and achieve what Avraham did. You don't need to be a big scholar. You could be a 3-year-old boy. Because the pashtus of emunah, like the Kuzari says, has nothing to do with chachma. And it's even a mistake in the Rambam. People misunderstand this Rambam. People think that the Rambam says you have to find Hashem intellectually. It's not true. It's not true. The Rambam also holds you need emunah pshuta. First, to believe in Hashem, and then in your life you should add wisdom that helps your emunah pshuta, that expands it, that makes it more sophisticated. But never would the Rambam ever tell you to drop your emunah, no matter how many tzarech iyuns, or doubts, or issues you have while you're debating philosophers. Everybody holds that emunah's inside of you. They just argue about whether or not the end game will be at 48, or you could even end the process at 3 years old. And Rav Yerucham says this also about the Chovas Halvavas, who starts off his major masterpiece, the Chovas Halvavas, with Shar Yichud Elokim, which is about the unity of Hashem. And no yeshiva bachur is allowed to read this. If you read, there's like a warning in the beginning. No one is to read this. You know why? Because it's proving things about Hashem's unity. And we don't do that. The Rambam's Beis Medrash did that. But Rav Yerucham said, I want you to know. He says, with that Shar Yichud of the Chovas HaVavas, where is the fat of the book of the Chovas HaVavas? What is he writing about most of the time? Hakaras HaTov Tashem, passion for Yiddishkeit, passion for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's all emotion. It's just also, there's a nekuda of chachma. But a yid lives with this understanding that nothing needs to be proved. All of these places that are trying to deal with people are dealing with people who need something very bidyevet. Ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim don't need anything proved to them. And if they do need something proved to them, then you'll excuse me for saying this, something's going on wrong with them. Maybe they should watch their kashrus. Maybe they should see where their eyes are looking. Something's fishy over here. Can't be that they took so quickly, they took that connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of course we encourage people to find Hashem, but we are ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. We already have everything. And I'll be honest with you, you think all these people who figured things out with fancy professors who were part of the Atomic Bomb Commission and they come and give a lecture, wow, he knows how to build an atomic bomb and he believes in Hashem. I believe in Hashem too. You fall for that? Let them. But I'll tell you, even if they become frum, when they're done, they don't need the atomic bomb guy. They feel it because it's real. It wasn't a trick. But it's not necessary. A Yiddish neshama is close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he is a chelek eloka mimal. Way above any debates, way above anything in the brain, he's connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's how we deal with questions. Yavan says, if I have a question, then the sugya is over. And we say, if we have a question, this piques our interest. This is somewhere to go further. Rav Tzadok HaKohen says that we have two groups who are using question and answer form. We have the Chachmei HaTalmud, who are always question, answer, question, answer, question, answer. And we have Socrates, better known as the Socratic method, which is used to say, is this an MP3 player? And then you go, what's an MP3 player? Well, it's I don't know how to do this. it's an MP3 player. Until you figure out exactly what it is, you keep asking questions, and then you find the MS about the MP3 player. He says there's only one fundamental difference between the Socratic method and Yiddishkeit. We can end in a teku. We have no problems with a good kasha. We love good kashas. They, if they have a kasha, nothing happened. Why? Because if it doesn't fit into my brain, then there's obviously nothing here. By us, it's pumfakert. All of the things come to us when there's a kasha. And this was the fateful mistake that we find in the Gemara in Chagiga, a very troubling story. Kibalti Me Rabo said is one of the most troubling things in the history of Klal Yisrael. Acher, Elisha ben Avuya, he was a Tana, the Rebbe of Rabbi Meir. And Acher went off. Acher went up there were four people who went up to Pardes. Acher went up to this mystical place. He saw the ministering angel Matatron sitting, the Gemara in Chagiga describes. And he said, nobody's allowed to sit over there. So that must be Rachmana Litzlan, God himself. And he had a heretical thought up there in the holiest of places. He deemed a Malach as Hashem, and pow, he fell down and he fell to the floor. And lower and lower and lower than the floor, and the Gemara is Marach on this. Rabbi Akiva made it out alive. Frech the Gemara an interesting question. Why did Acher fall prey to this? The Gemara says that he listened, my Zemer Yevamni lo pasik mepume. He didn't stop singing Greek songs. Interesting. I don't know. Aristotle, Plato. I don't know. Today we're not used to like ideologies. There are plenty of ideologies of crazy people, of shoe people. I don't know. But in those days they had songs, you know. The world has no creator. Woo, you know. Whatever it is. These are Yevanistic songs. Says Rashi that it's just about singing during the Chorban. The Marsha's Docha, he says, come on. No. It says Greek songs. And he says, the Gemara also said here that he had Sifrei Minos with him. So he says, no, these Greek songs were filled with the trefkite of the Greeks. And I think there's something incredibly deep over here. And this is my present to you, this thought. What is the Gemara telling us over here? Acher had a question, that's all. He got up to Shemayim, he had learned the sugya one way, that nobody's allowed to sit up there. Lo and behold, Matatron is sitting. So I would just say, Tarachin Rabosai, let's go home. We'll work on it tomorrow. Paskin, that there's no HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Frek the Gemara, how could that ever happen? How could it be that when you're faced with a suffix, you conclude that this is the conclusion and boom, it's all over. Yavan, I'm the Kovei of the Metzias over here. If I have a Tzarech Ion, then there can't be anything further. Everything exciting happens when the Sveikas start. All the exciting Sugyas. I'll tell you a very nice secret. There's a lot of worlds. Not just this one, there are a lot of other worlds and spheres. And you know what the higher worlds are called? There's a world called Bina. Very high place. We need it for Yom Kippur to get all clean from all of our chataim. You know what the name of Bina is? Me. Me is who? It's a question. The name of the world is a question. And then there's a higher world that's called Ma, which is what? And then there's another higher world, which is high as you can go, which is, goes basically Ayin, which is, huh? That's not the way to call worlds. But the Kadmonim explained, Pum Fakert, where you can understand is the places that are very, very low. All the exciting places are called questions because the only way you can relate to them is to go. That's where the Kirva to Borei Olam is. It's Mamish Pum Fakert. Anytime a person has a suffix in their life, you know what they should say? Baruch Hashem, that Hashem's smarter than me. Because I know where you're going with this one, Hashem. I got you here. Then Hashem's not all that, Rachman al-Islam, worth serving. If you can chop him every time, and you know exactly why he's sending you in this direction versus that direction, then he's not someone to follow. The reason you can follow him is because you can't chop him. He's so much more above you. And he's connected to you in a place that you don't even know about yourself. He's better than any psychologist. The psychologist can maybe get here and maybe get here, but Hashem's all the way over there by your chelek elokam imal, by your pintel yid, by the place where we say emunah zelokeinu. That's the shaychus. And if a person has doubts, those doubts are just because we're experiencing tapping into something that's beyond us. Tapping into something that's beyond us. I heard a meridika maisa that a Rebbe of mine told me from Rav Gusman. Rav Gusman said that he used to learn Bechavrusa with the Chazon Ish and Rav Meir Karel. It's in Europe. And they would finish a sugya and Ha'ir Shushan Sahal V'Samecha answered every question. Everyone was celebrating except for the Chazon Ish. He was sat there until he found a problem with the Shtikl Torah. So, my Rebbe said, for years he thought one way in the story, and he realized that's not the pshat. For years he thought that the Chazon Ish was just very careful. You know, let's make sure it's careful. He said, no. The Chazon Ish realized, if we got this sugya down, then we don't have it, because it can't be. Torah is too deep for it to be this good. Until we have a kasha, we haven't even begun. Kashas are what feed us. They make us feel like we can advance to a higher level of kirva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Avi Ezri asked the Brisker Rav, who asked Rav Chaim Brisker. The Pasuk says, Verastichli b'emuna v'yadatas Hashem. Verastichli b'emuna. That every person goes from stages in their life. First they have emuna, they don't know something. Then they know it, and now it's not emuna because they know it. But then something else they don't understand, that's called emuna. Then they know that, and then something else becomes emuna. And it just keeps going in your lives. But don't think it'll ever end. Because if Acher had a question, you will have a question. The only shaila is, does it excite you? That you're part of an umma that has a HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's mysterious. And this is the whole krumkeit, the whole darkness of Yavan. They took everything that's rich about us, our loving of kashas. They took everything. And they said, no. If you can't put it under a microscope, we should all be zeichet to have a freilichim chacham.